We're going to turn to God's Word now and to Hebrews chapter 4. Perhaps you were expecting something in Genesis, but we're taking a break from Genesis until the new year because for these three Sundays in Advent, we're going to be looking at what it means to welcome Jesus and what it means to welcome Him through His Word. And in a few weeks' time, the celebration of Christmas will be over. For some of you, you're already delighted to hear that. And for others, on Boxing Day, your Christmas decorations will come down and it'll be simply said, well, that's it, over for another year. But of course, once Christmas, or we perceive Christmas to be over, it's time for New Year. And I wonder, are you looking forward to 2024 and the year that is ahead of us? Well, whether you're a person for a New Year's resolution or not, it's always a time to take stock of the year that's been and kind of think of what's going to happen in the year to come. We do a lot of reflection, but we also look forward. And we look forward generally with hope that indeed, no matter how good this year has been, the next year will be even better. And we may wish to change certain aspects of our lives, or we may want to pick up certain practices again that will make us feel better about ourselves. We see the freshness of the new year as an opportunity, that perfect opportunity for a clean slate or to turn a new, fresh page in the book of our lives. And you know as well as I know that we can be full of good intentions. We can be well-intentioned people. We can put our plans and practices in place. It looks like it's all going to go well. And we generally stick to it for about a fortnight. Because when Blue Monday rolls around, which is this, or in 2024 will be Monday the 15th of January, most of our resolutions will have failed and we will have slipped back into our old ways. Now, I'm not trying to be negative this morning. I'm not trying to judge your stickability of these things, but it's simply being realistic, isn't it? Because we've all been there. We've all said we're going to do this and that, and maybe we've got past the 15th of January, but we know that at some point or other, things don't continue the way we had hoped. But I wonder, can this year be different? As we look into 2024, I wonder, can it be different? And for the past number of years, I've wanted the opportunity to take time to think about what it means to go well into 2024. And I want to think of it in these three Sundays in Advent to see if we can be persuaded that what we practice at the start of 2024 isn't a passing fade, but it's actually something worth doing and it's worth pursuing. I'm not talking about fitness. I'm not talking about diets. I'm not talking about time management and all the books that you want to read. I'm talking about reading and meditating on the Word of God as we go into the year that is ahead. How many times have you said in your resolutions that you want to read the Bible more, or you want to be more faithful in reading it every day? And we find it hard in the busyness of life to fit in 10, 15, 20 minutes of reading and prayer. Yet this is vital in our relationship with God. And over these next number of weeks, we're going to be thinking about three things. Today, we're going to be thinking about what is the Bible. Next week, we're going to be looking at what is the purpose of Scripture. And then finally, what do we actually do with it whenever we read it and we learn it? And you can be sitting there right now thinking, well, I know the answer to all of these. But I want us to explore and understand them over this time so that we can see our hearts changed, that we will want to be on fire for Christ, to lift God's Word every day and allow it to speak into our lives. And so we begin today with what is the big question. What is the Bible? What is it? How does it look different from other things around us? What is significant about it? Why indeed should we even be paying any form of attention to it? And for the majority of us here, if not all of us, we will have an answer in our heads right now as to what the Bible is. And if this was a quiz and I were to ask you for your answer, I imagine that I'd guess there'd be around maybe four or five common answers throughout this building this morning. We live in a culture that's familiar with the Bible, and we're familiar with its use publicly. and we probably have more than one Bible in our homes. In fact, we probably received a Bible while at Sunday school. Then we received another one from the Gideons at high school. And then maybe another one when we were married or for another significant event in life. You might expect me to say this, but I have two shelves full of Bibles. We have them. What do we do with them? Now, some of you will be here this morning with your Bible. For others, it might be beside your bed or beside your armchair. While others, it will be on that bookshelf. And indeed, for others, it will be in a storage box somewhere shoved under a bed, in a dressing table, or in a wardrobe. And the reality is that for some of us, we care so little about our Bibles that over time it has simply got lost as we have forgotten all about it. But the Bible is not like any other book. It's not fiction. It's not a self-help guide. It's not an ornament to make our bookshelves look impressive. The closing verses of our scripture passage in Hebrews 4 today make it clear as to what the Bible is. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And you know, if we were to take that verse on its own, we'd say, I don't want to read the Bible. No, thank you. Look at what it does. It uses the word judgment. Well, we don't like to talk about judgment, do we? We don't like to think we're being judged, but ultimately we are and we will be. Better to know now the standard by which we'll be judged for when we face the judgment. But it also talks about very practical things, joints and marrow. It also speaks of the spirit and the soul, showing the all-encompassing nature of the message of Scripture. And you see, God's word regularly warns us of the dangers of not taking it seriously. Other passages in Scripture refer to it as hardening our hearts. And a common description of God's word is as living and effective. As we look in this passage, it's sharp enough to cut the heart's hidden depths, discerning our secret thoughts and indeed our intentions. And as the speech of the living God, this word itself is alive. It truly is God's word to us. God knows every one of us. In fact, he knows us better than we know ourselves. In fact, he knows us through and through. And no creature is hidden from his eyes, for all lie exposed and utterly vulnerable before him. And so that's why we read in Hebrews 4 verse 12 that his word cuts us to the core, spirit and flesh. That's why soul, spirit, joints, marrow. It's intended not to draw physiological or anatomical distinctions, but to dramatize the skill by which God uses his word to penetrate our apparently impenetrable recesses that are in our lives. The God who sees our hidden inner life is a judge who will not be deceived by pious appearances. Mercifully, this all-seeing divine judge has provided for guilty rebels like us a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, who has experienced their own temptations and now represents them before his throne, a throne of grace in heaven. And how do we know this? We know this because God's word tells us. And that's where our passage begins. We're not going to go through this passage verse by verse because we're looking at the theme of this passage. But verse 1 begins for us by saying, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Last Sunday night in looking at the book of Romans, we were thinking about peace. And the peace that we have when we are in a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's unlike any other. His peace means that you can go through the hardest moments in life, yet for some reason that we simply can't explain or put our finger on, it all feels okay, or that it will be okay. And so this morning we now have another way of describing that peace in the word rest. Now this rest, which no one else offers us, comes through the gospel. It is not simply a break to get away from it all, but it's an eternal promise of a home in heaven. But it isn't the writer of Hebrews who's simply telling us this just for our knowledge. It's interesting how he turns the phrase for us. He wants us to be careful that no one is found to have fallen short. And the intention is that we will pay attention to the Bible, that we will know it to be true, that we won't question whether it is right or not, but we will see it as God's word presented to us. We all know what it means to fall short. To fall short means that we don't meet a particular standard, probably best displayed in the rules that we had at school. In the school that I went to, we had a system called yellow card. It was a grace-filled school because you got 3 yellow cards before you got a detention. But the punishment of a yellow card was to write out the school rules for your homework that night. So for 3 times, you would have to write out the school rules, and then you would get a detention on the 4th time that you had an offense. And the whole purpose of it was so that you would know what the standard was. As you copied out word for word, comma by full stop, you would know what the standard of the school was, in the hope that you would not need to write it out again because you would learn the standard to follow. And that's what's been said here, that the desire of God is that no one will fall short of what his standard is. And how do we know his standard?